Well, we're going to turn in our Bibles now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I think that is 1007 in your pew Bibles, page 1007. And if you're new to Central, we go through books of the Bible, studying them consecutively. So we're going through Hebrews in the morning and the book of Matthew in the evening. And this morning we're looking at verses 8 to 12, but I'm going to read from the beginning of the chapter. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand on the seashore." Okay, Hebrews 11. Let me introduce it in this way. Two men like the same coffee shop. They go to the same coffee shop every Saturday. And eventually they strike up a conversation. It's two men, right? It takes us longer, okay? They strike up a conversation. And these two men, I know these two men, they are very, very different philosophically, the way they look at the world, religiously. One is a Christian, one is not yet. And the third thing I would say is that they were very different as I got to know both of them politically. One would be, I would imagine, a kind of small C conservative. The other, quite a way over to the left. Very different. And yet, they struck up a friendship. I know the pair of them. And they began to talk about things that interested them. And of course, very soon, the subject of the Christian faith of one of them came up. And surprisingly, it sparked an interest in the other guy. He started to ask questions, come to church. And eventually, he came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's still following Jesus today. He came from, I guess, looking at and knowing the culture that he came from, it was a very, very unlikely thing, humanly speaking, that he would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he did, and is still walking with Jesus today. One of the things that we don't often think about Abram is this, that he was very, very unlikely as a candidate to be the father of Israel. He came from Ur of the Chaldees, roughly speaking, what we would recognize as Iraq today. And in that place, he moved from that place to a place called Haran. So if you imagine Iraq down here, forget that you're looking at me and I'm not looking. Iraq's down here, okay? Haran is up here, level with the bottom part of Turkey, if you came along a line from the bottom of Turkey. And Canaan is here, so it's like a triangle. And he takes that route from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran. And from Haran, he moves to Canaan. Now, the reason he took that triangular route was that was the trade route. That was the trade route. But it's when he is in Haran that God gives him a particular call and a particular promise or promises concerning what he is going to do with him. He leaves that which was known and familiar and faces a future all unknown on the basis of the call of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. In other words, what happened to my friend in Glasgow was he heard the word of Christ that sparked faith in him. Faith was awakened in him, and he began to follow Jesus, and he still does. It's what happened to Abraham. The word of God came to him and awakened faith in him and began to follow, looking forward to Jesus. What is faith? What do we mean when we're talking about faith? Well, first of all, faith, we're told in the Bible, is a gift of God. Faith itself, the very means by which God uses to bring us to himself, is in itself a gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Faith is the instrument that God uses to bring us to himself. So if faith is a gift, then why is Abraham commended for his faith? You never thought of that, did you? If faith is something that God bestows, then why is Abraham commended and the others commended for their faith? Well, God delights in his own work. And he also delights in the exercise of faith on the part of his people. We are not automatons. We are called to respond. And in the mystery of God, we do. We find ourselves believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and following him. Did God choose Abraham? Or did Abraham choose God? Answer, yes. Both and at the same time. In the mystery of God's providence. It's one of those tremendous paradoxes in Scripture that we can't explain from our end, but God knows. God knows how it works. And these paradoxes in Scripture ought to bring us to our knees in worship at the God who can work in such a way. Now, to these Jewish background believers to whom this letter was first addressed, these Jewish background believers were being challenged, like Abraham, to leave what was familiar and safe and follow the Lord Jesus into an unknown future. So many Jewish people were converted at Pentecost, baptized, brought into the fellowship of the church, and off they went in their walk with Jesus. But very soon persecution began to form around them, and it became very, very tricky to be a follower of Jesus. And so what the writer to the Hebrews does, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is this. He presents them, and us, with examples of faith from Jewish history. Principally here, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, verses 8 to 10, obeyed the word of God, leaving Haran for the land of promise. Sarah, secondly, verses 11 to 16, considered God faithful in the face of her own pain. She could not conceive. That was a terrible thing. The question is, will these Jewish background believers trust God for their future blessing in the circumstances in which they find themselves? Both Abraham and Sarah recognized that God was doing something greater. And this story illustrates this. And that's an important lesson for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to learn. That the circumstances of your life and my life, whether they are easy or hard, are set within the providence of God for the glory of his name and for the blessing of his child. And although Abraham and Sarah faced huge problems and challenges personally in their lives, yet as we look back in their lives, we see the blessing of God poured out upon them. So the question is, will the Jewish background believers trust God for future blessing? Because all of us who belong to Jesus Christ are part of something bigger than ourselves. We understand that, don't we? And we can see that in the story here. The story illustrates this. They go from Ur of the Chaldees, the city of man, to a city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. In other words, through their lives, God is doing something wonderful and magnificent. And through our lives, he's doing similarly. They go from living in tents to the permanence of an eternal city. We too are on that trail. We too are on that trail. And in all this, God is the prime mover. And his final word is Jesus. Will these Jewish background believers keep looking in faith to him? Will we? As the culture grows more hostile. And it's not in our interests financially or socially to be a Christian. Will we keep following him? How sure, how rooted are our foundations? The account of Abraham and Sarah is fueled by faith. And it's important as we look at this that we just do that Google Maps thing and just draw out a bit so that we can see the big picture, the wider perspective, and implications of the adventures of Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 12, God's call to Abraham, a significant staging post in salvation history, and God sets Abraham apart and binds him in covenant to himself. And then comes Isaac and Jacob. And then, of course, it's Isaac, Jacob. I was going to say Jason Donovan there, but that gives away my age. It wasn't. You can tell I'm getting old when people don't laugh at that because they don't understand the joke. But some of you do. It's okay. He played Joseph, all right. Joseph, down to Egypt. His brothers follow him there. Eventually, they settle there and become a great nation. And so already we see the promise to Abraham being fulfilled. And in Jesus, we see that fulfillment also. Jesus, we are told, Galatians 3, verse 16, is the seed singular of Abraham, who brings blessing to the world. Blessing to the world. In him, in Christ. All the families of the world are blessed. Now, all these promises are in Scripture. And the wonderful thing for us today is that we can see it coming true before our very eyes. Everything is predicated upon God's word. The the call to Abraham, the message for Sarah. And at every stopping point along the way, it is about the Word of God awakening faith, moving the salvation story forward. Abraham then, first of all, look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of that same promise. They are the men of the line. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abram is clearly being commended for his response here. And that, as we said before, is in no way diminishes the call of God upon him. Believers are not automatons, but those inhabited and cooperating with the Holy Spirit who dwells within. And so it's one of those questions that we ask ourselves to see whether we are in the faith or not. It is very important that we do that from time to time. And basically the question is it thy will be done or my will be done? What is our response to the word of God? Abram's response was clear, wasn't it? Abram went out not knowing where he was going. Now, this isn't the kind of scenario that sometimes happens to my wife Janie and I, where we say, let's go somewhere. We say, that's great, let's go somewhere. We jump in the car and we start to move off, and then she'll say to me, where are we going? I'll say, I don't know. Where do you want to go? St. Andrews? Yeah. Let's go to St. Andrews. This is not that kind of call. It's not that kind of scenario. This was an altogether different scenario. This was a true hearing of the word of God and a conscious response of Abraham placing himself and the others in the providential care of God. Now, I'm not one of those people who's always getting words from the Lord. But I do believe that reading the Bible, praying, talking things through with trusted friends, trusting the Holy Spirit to bring convictions about what is right in my life, works. And some of those things can be profoundly life-changing. I've witnessed God doing that with people. They sense a call to something. They pray, waiting on the Lord, talking to their pastors, their family, their friends, their church family, and it is a joy to see them coming to a conviction about something, the call tested and the support given. Now, we're not told of any process that Abraham experienced or how the word of the Lord came to him, but what we are told is the main thing. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I think it might just have been a wee bit scary for Abraham, don't you think? But that's okay. All the best things are a wee bit scary. The call was clear, and Abraham honored God in it. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, verse 9, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham obeyed God in going into the land of promise. I wonder what they found when they got there. Did Sarah say to him, hey, Abram, that's a bit of a dive here? Did his nephew Lot complain about the circumstances they fit? We don't know, but they're human beings like us. The key was not what they found, but the call that they followed. The key was not what they found, but the call that they followed, which in Abram's case was spectacularly confirmed in a covenant that God, the God of Israel, makes with him. Genesis 15, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking pot with a flaming torch passed between these pieces of the sacrifice. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I will give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. What an experience. Literally, it means that a covenant was cut. And the animal, both parts were laid on either side to emphasize the significance of what was happening. And we might say, well, that's all well and good for Abram. He received a word from God, smoking pot and a flaming torch and an incredible promise. But what about me and my life? How does this pan out for me? Well, what about the gifts that God has given you? See, I think one of the key things, as we're seeking guidance, and I know that some of you are just now concerning your future, the key thing I would say to you is your heart good with God? Do you love him? Do you really want to honor and to serve him? If the answer to that is yes, then please relax. Relax. Some people have the idea that the will of God is like tram lines. And if you go off them, you're out of the will of God. Well, if you do something wrong that you know is wrong, well, yes. But God's providence isn't like that. It's not that determinative thing that you can fall out of. If your heart is good with him, he'll pick you up where you are and he'll take you where he wants you to go. He's got it. Is your heart good with God? Do you love him? Then, with those checks and balances that we were talking about before, talking to your leaders, talking to your church family, talking to your family, talking to your godly friends, reading the word, praying, with all those checks and balances, God will guide you. God will guide you. You may not have a smoking pot and a flaming torch, but God will guide you. Trust him. Abram was set apart for a particular purpose. A purpose that affects us even today because we are the spiritual heirs of Abraham by faith, Galatians 3, verse 29. But every believer is set apart by God to stay at home or to sail the seas, whatever. But listen to what the writer says of Abram, because it would be so sad if we missed this. Verse 9, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Something was going on in Abraham's heart that was bigger and better than the mundane. Bigger than his present circumstances. And the writer here contrasts the temporary and the temporal in the tents that they lived in with the eternal permanence of the city that God is building. Now, that's really important that we take a hold of what the writer is saying here. The writer contrasts these things to make an important point. The African-American spiritual captures the thought, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Abram not only travels with an entourage, but with a hope in the God who called him. Is that you? I trust so. Because time is passing, isn't it? We had a lovely time together at our AGM. Not many people can say that. A lovely time, an AGM, those two concepts coming together. But it was, really was. And one of the significant things that we did there was our in memoriam prayer, where we remember members and friends who have gone to be with Jesus. Now they're experiencing that eternal city. And this is the significance of what we're looking at here. Jonathan Edwards was instrumental in what came to be called the New England Revival in the 1700s. And this is what Jonathan Edwards says. He says, the future world was designed to be our settled and everlasting abode. There it was intended that we should be fixed And there alone is a lasting habitation and a lasting inheritance. The present state is short and transitory, but our state in the other world is everlasting. Our state in the future world, therefore, being eternal, is of much greater importance than our state here. Is of so much greater importance than our state here that all our concerns in this world should be wholly subordinated to it. That's quite a statement, isn't it? But I tell you, Abraham understood this. A proper understanding of God and his purpose changes the perspective of the believer. And in Abraham's case, he therefore persisted in his faith, believing God's promise, knowing that there was more to come, knowing that that more was better. And then there's Sarah. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. And you think about the agony of that in normal circumstances. And you think about the agony of that in these particular circumstances where God has given Abraham this promise that he would be the father of a multitude. And his wife can't conceive. But even in these circumstances, God was doing something. God was doing something in them. God has made that promise to Abraham that Sarah could not conceive. Genesis 18, the Lord appeared to him at the oaks of Mamre. And the Lord gave a promise that a year hence, Sarah would give birth. And Sarah laughed. I mean, come on. Abram's 99. And I'm not far behind. This is a bit of a stretch, and she laughed. She laughed when she should have listened to the Lord. Just like Abraham, she's faithful, but she's flawed. And a year later, the son of promise, Isaac, is born. And the lovely thing about this part is that the writer to the Hebrews gives us the inside track on Sarah. Sure, she got it wrong here. Abram was 99, and she probably, as I said, just a bit younger. But she came to trust in God's promise. She really did. She was a woman of faith. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And all the challenges that you're facing just now, do you consider the Lord faithful? Then rest in his good, pleasing, and perfect will for you. Genesis 18, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? And in this blessing, we share this morning. That blessing that came through Sarah is something that we share in, because that line would culminate in our Lord Jesus Christ. These Jewish background believers were being challenged, but what a way the writer challenges them. History can be very evocative, can't it? Your national history, whatever it is. And so these examples of faith from Hebrew history are employed superbly for the blessing of these Jewish background believers in the first century, and for us too. Challenged like Abraham to leave what was familiar and safe, to follow Jesus into an unknown future. Abraham obeyed the word of the Lord. Sarah considered God faithful in the face of her own pain. Both Abraham and Sarah recognized that God was doing something greater. And the story illustrates this. They go from the temporary and temporal nature of the city of man towards the eternal city whose builder and maker is God. from tents that were temporary to that which was eternal. And we too are on that trail this morning if we are in Christ, looking towards what God is doing in these days, keeping faith in Him, keeping Him as our object, being faithful and joyful as we face whatever we do. Neither Abraham nor Sarah walked perfectly. What is being presented to us here is not Superman or Wonder Woman. They're flawed just like we are. And sometimes we get it wrong, don't we? Abraham lied about his wife being his sister to get himself out of trouble, and he got himself into more trouble. Sarah laughed when she should have listened. But ultimately, they walk in faith, and they are commended for this, being offered as inspiring examples. And these examples of faith are not just for first century Jewish background believers. They are also for us. God has called us. God has set us apart for Him. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. He is our Lord, and on Him we are to focus. And that brings us to the table. We too, if we are in Christ, find ourselves in this line of faith. And these emblems of the bread and wine signal to us what it took for us to be part of this glorious line of faith. The bread representing the body of Christ broken for us. The wine representing His blood shed upon the cross for our forgiveness. If you are in Christ this morning, no matter what you're facing, rejoice, because He has you in His grip. And if you're not sure, then ponder these things.